You'd open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, continuing our journey through the book of Hebrews. We're going to be looking today, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, and we're going to drop down and read verses 13 through 16 also. So Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, and 13 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Then in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, come now with a prayer that you would open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word. Lord, speak to us through your word. Convict us, challenge us, encourage us. Lord, lift us up by your most holy spirit. Lord, we pray that your spirit would take these words and make them alive, sharp, powerful, penetrate the very core of our being. And Lord, we come today with a prayer that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Faith that sets limits, faith that only believes so much of God's word, not all of it, some of it. Faith that only trusts so much. Faith which does not look beyond what is known by experience is really no faith at all. And the apostle in this chapter has set before us an exhibit of living examples of faith. They trusted God. They believed God. They pleased God and were righteous by faith. Their faith enabled them to be faithful to God in many difficult situations. They were faithful to God when they encountered much opposition. And today we begin to look at Abraham. And actually, he is the first after the flood, at least the first one of whom we have any record, who is said to have pleased God. And we should point out at this point, when we say that, that the way to please God is the same in every age. It's the same for Abraham, it's the same for you, it's the same for me. By faith. Being sure of what is hoped for and certain of what we do not see. Abraham is held out to us as a model of faithfulness more than anyone else in the scripture. Scripture refers over and over to the faith of Abraham. He is called the father of all who believe. Therefore, it's fitting for the Hebrews to consider his example. And by extension, it's fitting for us to consider the example of faith and obedience which he portrayed. You know, Abraham lived in one of the great cultural centers of his day. God's command to him to get up and leave that place required a lot of self-denial for Abraham. In addition to leaving his home, his country, comfortable lifestyle, this act required great obedience because he didn't know where he was going. God says, get up and go to a place I will show you. What was the place to which he was going to go? What kind of people lived there? How was he supposed to make a living when he got there? How was he supposed to get there? I'm sure you can think of some more questions that might come to your mind if God were to ask you to do such. What's he facing? What's he going to look at? All he knew was the name of the place, Canaan. But the text is clear. It says clearly he did not know where he was going. And in truth, we must say that Abraham was not all in right at first. God said, leave your home and your family. And Abraham packed up a number of his family and took them with him. And they stopped in Haran and stayed there for 5 years. But the word of the Lord came to Abraham a second time. And Abraham responded in faith. He wholly committed himself to the power and the goodness, the direction, the faithfulness of God. And without any other information other than the name of the place, he got up and went to the place to which God had called him. And you know, contrary to what many Christians of our day and time would expect, Abraham did not receive a great reward of lands, houses, and property for his obedience. You know, there's this idea in Christendom today that when you obey God, God's supposed to pour out some kind of great blessing on you. God, who holds title to everything in the whole universe, had promised Abraham the land of Canaan. We read that in our Old Testament reading this morning. But Abraham lived there like a visitor. He lived in a tent his whole life there. Some of the locals might have called him a squatter. He just showed up and camped out there. He didn't have a home there. And it wasn't just true for Abraham. It was also true for Isaac, Jacob, his son, his grandson. In fact, in later years, Jacob lived in Egypt. He died in Egypt. In fact, all of Abraham's descendants, those from Isaac, the son of promise, all eventually lived and died in Egypt, not in the land of promise. In fact, they were in Egypt, and it would be over 400 years before they would set foot in the promised land. So how could Abraham be content with such a lifestyle? How could he be content with living in a tent when God had promised him a country? Well, the answer is there in verse 10. Look. He was looking for a heavenly city. Abraham understood the spiritual nature of God's promise. And notice the great contrast there. Living in a tent versus a city with foundations. A solid, permanent place. He looked forward to a heavenly fulfillment of this. A city whose architect and builder is God. We see something of that in Revelation. We see the holy city, the New Jerusalem, with its foundations of precious stones coming down out of heaven. This is the city that God has made for his own dwelling and the eternal home of his saints. Place fit for God to dwell. That's the place he has prepared for those who love him. It's a city that will endure forever. And that's where Abraham looked for his reward. This was the fulfillment of the covenant promises. This is important. This is very important. The spiritual nature of the blessings of the covenant stands out very clearly in the life of Abraham. Abraham's whole life was a looking forward to a promise. He realized very little of what God had promised, but he recognized the spiritual nature that those promises represented. The temporal promises of the covenant were not fulfilled, but the apostle tells us that Abraham had a clear understanding of the symbolic significance of these temporal possessions. And he looked in faith for a heavenly city. How many people today, and how many preachers today, push this idea that Christianity, that God, that the church are just ways to get your temporal needs met? They're a way to be healed. They're a way to be prosperous. They're a way to be happy. It's a way to increase your houses and your lands and your material wealth. And they really give no thought and no attention to the true riches, the fulfillment of the covenant promises in heaven. They don't even give that city a second thought. But Paul says of Christians that our citizenship is in heaven. We are strangers and aliens in this place. Heaven is our home. And when you drop down to verse 13, you see that all these people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were still living in faith when they died. As I said, they all lived in tents in the promised land. They never had a home there. They never took possession of the land. And, you know, after almost 250 years of living there, there were 70 of them, 70 of Abraham's descendants. And those people went to Egypt. And them and generations of their successors lived and died in the land of Egypt, not in the promised land. It was a long time before these promises were fulfilled. And, you know, they only saw him from a distance, the apostle said. He's not talking about distance and miles. He's talking about time. They only saw these promises from a distance. They lived by faith. They were still living by faith when they died. And having received the promise, they lived in faith. What does that tell you? There's a very key principle here. Many people say there's not much about eternal life in the Old Testament. It's everywhere. These people lived and died in faith because if all they had and all they received was what they received there, those promises weren't fulfilled. They died in faith looking to those promises. You know, it's pretty sad today. Many people think this world is all there is. I've had many tell me, well, you die and that's it. Well, if you die and that's it, if these people died and that was it, how were God's promises ever fulfilled? They testify by their hope and their faith that there is eternal life. They're looking for that heavenly home, and it's going to come. But if you don't believe in eternal life, how can that be? If you die and that's it, your faith must end when you die. Your hope must end when you die. And therefore, by faith, they testified to a belief in eternal life. They looked beyond what they could see. They looked beyond this world. They lived as strangers and aliens in the world. And they expected more than this world could ever offer. They disregarded the things of this world. They expected great blessings from God. But it's obvious. They didn't look for them in this world. They realized they were only passing through. And the apostle makes the point that if it was a country they wanted, if it was a fine house, a good place to live, if they wanted to enjoy life like that, if that's what they were looking for, they could just go back where they came from, right? You remember all the patriarchs sent back to their home country to get wives for their sons. They knew where the place was, and they knew the people that lived there. Those people were doing pretty well. If they were looking for a comfortable life and a place to live where they could be free from all these worries and problems, they could go back there. But they were looking for something better. They were looking beyond temporal blessings. They were looking for a heavenly country. By faith, they were looking to God's promises, to the land He promised, the heavenly land. Therefore, He says, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because He has prepared that city for them, the city with foundations. Abraham looked to the city of God, prepared for all those who look to Him in faith. Remember Jesus' words to the disciples the night before the crucifixion? I'm going to prepare a place for you. This is the place to which all the faithful are looking. For you see, we have the same promises that they had. Promises which are yet to be fulfilled. And we meet many difficulties along the way. Difficulties that can discourage us, even cause us to doubt. You know, many preachers have promised people things the Lord never promised. They promise them things of the world. It's very popular today. And many people end up disappointed and turned off by Christianity. And such things don't materialize. When they do all the things that the preacher says, and these things don't appear. But the Lord God Almighty has promised to all those who have faith, faith like Abraham, the faith of the faithful, to those the Lord promises that He will live with them, that He will be their God, and they will be His people, and He will dwell with them, that He will be with them, and they will be with Him where He is. Again, Jesus, the night before the crucifixion, John 17, in His high priestly prayer, He prays to the Father, and He says, I want those that You have given Me to be with Me where I am. That's the promise. That's what we have. Where He is. Now, the city with foundations, the place prepared by the Lord Himself. Seems kind of far off, doesn't it? Seems kind of unreal to many. You're surrounded by the things of earth. Surrounded by things which seem so much more real. The reality is out there. We see it at a distance. The promise of God. But the true Christian, like Abraham, his descendants are pilgrims, strangers, aliens here on earth. Peter said, live your lives here as strangers in reverent fear. The Christian seeks a better land than this world, better than this world can ever give you. His affections are set on things above. He recognizes the emptiness, the temporary character of the things that the world has to offer. He has learned to regard this world as a place that's very temporary. We're just visitors here, sojourners here on earth, because we belong somewhere else. Christians should do as Paul admonished the Corinthians to do. Fix your eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Kind of reminds you of verse 1 here in this chapter, does it not? Faith is what? Being certain. What is not seen. That city that God has prepared. The city whose builder, whose architect, whose designer is God Himself. So we can say that true Christians are like patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In fact, there's no difference in the saints of any age. Their true hope is not in the things of this world. Their hope is in the world to come, the eternal world. And you know, we really, if you think about it, we have less of a conception of heaven than Abraham had about the land of Canaan. He knew a little bit about Canaan. It wasn't that far away, and it was in the world, and it was in part of the world where he lived. We know very little about heaven other than what the Lord has revealed to us in the Scripture. We see it from a distance. But Abraham and Isaac and Jacob behold it now. We behold it by faith. You know, their life, their inheritance, our life, our inheritance, is by faith in God's Word, in His promises. So the question for you is really simple. How do you regard God's Word? As I said in the introduction, if you only believe some of God's Word, if you only believe what you can see and experience, if you only believe what you can understand, in our postmodern world, that's much the way the Bible is treated and looked at. If you can only believe what you understand about God's Word, that's really no faith at all. It should be sufficient for you that God has promised a home for His faithful ones, an eternal city, unshakable, beautiful foundations, a city that is worthy of God Himself, a place where God will dwell with His people, where you can see and experience the covenant promises of God fulfilled, covenant promises come to fruition. God's promise, I will be their God, and they will be my people, and I will dwell with them. I will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more crying, and no more mourning, and no more pain, because God will be there with us. That's what He promises. And Jesus summed this up nicely. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, believing the word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's the promise of God. You see, Abraham obeyed God faith. In faith, he looked to that city built by God, a city with foundations. And the process is still the same. We're strangers and aliens here in this world. God has promised us things that are beyond comprehension. We behold them by faith. We see them afar off. It may be hard in some cases. It may look like there is no benefit here and now for being a Christian, for obeying God. But those who are looking for and longing for a better country, the abode of God, the place where God dwells, the place where they will dwell with Him, people who look for that will act like Abraham, trusting God's promise, even though some of it is unseen in this world or even in this life. They trust God. They're looking for what God has promised. Quite different are the people whose hearts are consumed with earthly things, those who consider talk of heaven and life beyond the grave is foolishness. Those who think this world and the things in it are all that is to be desired. They love the things of the world. They're afraid to miss out on anything in this world. because they think somehow this life would be not worth living if they couldn't have and do and partake in all that the world offers, that somehow their life would be less satisfying. They don't accept. They don't believe. They don't desire what is eternal, because it's not seen. It's not experienced. Think about Abraham. He left his home and everything he knew and loved and worked for, and went off and lived in a tent the rest of his life and looked in faith to what God had promised. Many people think that's foolishness. These people don't have time for God. They don't have time for His Word. They don't have time for prayer. They don't have time for church, because they're too busy with the things of the world, things that will wear out and rot and perish. And unfortunately, sadly, they will perish along with the things they fought so hard to acquire while they turned their back on eternal things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the promise that You hold out to Your people. Lord, You are a faithful God. Your promises are sure and true. And Lord, help us as Your people to fix our eyes on that which is eternal, to see clearly that which is unseen by faith in Your Word. Lord, what glorious promises lie there for Your people to dwell with You, the eternal, almighty, all-powerful God who prepares a place of untold beauty and wonder for those He loves, for His children. Lord, help us to think on these things. Give us the faith of Abraham, irrespective of the circumstances of life, which can be very difficult, which can be very hard, frustrating. Lord, help us to look beyond those things to what You have promised, and to see those things clearly. Our reward in heaven, and the greatest reward of all, to be with You in Your presence, to behold Your face. Lord, if there are those who do not believe, those who consider this to be idle talk, foolishness, Lord, work in their hearts, we pray. Lord, give them new hearts that they might believe and be saved, that they might indeed put their faith in You, not in the things of this world. And may it all be for Your own glory and honor, we pray. We pray these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen.